Good morning. We just want to thank you for the warm welcome that we've received this morning. And as many of you know, there were missionaries in Porto, Portugal. And in August, we'll celebrate our 10 years in Portugal. Since the last time that we were here 5 years ago, the Lord has led us out of the international ministry that we were in, the English-speaking community, and has led us at the end of, in October of 2018, to start a Calvary Chapel in order to also reach the Portuguese community, which is our heart. And so most of our, the existence of our little church, Calvary Chapel, Gran Porto, has been in COVID, but the Lord has been faithful and has made some neat transitions through this time. And interestingly enough, we have a lot of Brazilians. There's a big Brazilian community in Portugal. And so because they speak the same language, they leave Brazil to go relocate in Portugal. But our heart still, we want to raise up and make disciples of the people that God brings to us through just the Calvary Chapel method of just teaching the Bible and fellowship and getting our people grounded in the Word and raising up leaders within the church. And so it's been exciting. It's been had new challenges for us along the way. And also our heart still is for the Portuguese. And they're a tough soil, and we ask that you join us in praying for the Portuguese people. It's a Catholic country. And so there's a lot of religion, but not the relationship with God through Jesus the Son. And so we've had the opportunity when we do evangelism to share with the young people who are a little bit more open. And so we get to share with them the simple gospel truth about God's love, grace, and planting seeds. And so, but we see that as like a long-term work in order to build relationships of trust and in order for the gospel to penetrate the lives of the people that we hold dear and love. And so is there anything else that
No, just that I am a very bad husband. 20 minutes before we came this morning in our hotel room, I said, you know, it would be a good idea if, like, before I start, you know, speaking, that if he just came up and shared for a few minutes. So she's like, what? So now you're ready for next service as well.
Yes. Also, we do have some prayer cards in the back. So at the end of the service, if you're interested, you can grab one. It has some prayer requests and just to keep us in mind and the work that God's doing over there in Portugal. And if you have any questions, we'll be there at the end also to answer any questions that you have.
All right.
I think that's it. Thanks.
All right. Well, like Diana said, this is our first time back in America in 5 years. So this is the first time for me speaking in front of an American audience in 5 years. So there's this joke that I like. It's a bad joke, so I just want to warn you, it's a bad joke. And every Easter, I tell this joke, and I'm going to tell it this morning as well. Not because it's a good joke, but because you'll understand why it's not a good joke and why it's a bad joke. Because when I tell the joke there, they just look at me because they don't understand the context. But I want to tell it because it's an Easter joke. So now that I'm in front of an American audience, I feel free to tell this joke and knowing that you'll understand that it's not that great of a joke. But it's an Easter joke, so I'm going to tell it. And even though it's not Easter. So it's the Easter Bunny hopping down the street one day, and this guy comes racing around the corner, and he hits the Easter Bunny with his car and kills him. And the guy gets out of the car just really upset, like, oh my gosh, I killed the Easter Bunny. You know, there's eggs all over the ground. And this woman drives by, sees what's happening, gets out of her car and walks over and says, oh my gosh, what happened? And the guy's like, I killed the Easter Bunny. I hit him with my car. He's dead. Oh, my gosh. She's like, oh, no, don't worry about it. I got something. She goes back into her car, grabs a spray from her purse and starts spraying the Easter Bunny. And all of a sudden, the Easter Bunny hops up and then hops away, gets his eggs, and just says, okay, bye, thanks, and takes off. And the guy is just totally surprised and shocked. He's like, oh my gosh, what was that spray? Is it a magic spray? How did you bring the Easter Bunny back to life just by spraying him? And she said, oh, it's hairspray. It brings every dead hair, revitalizes every dead hair. So that's my Easter joke. So they don't understand, like, for them, hair is hair, not a rabbit. So there you go. Okay, this morning we're going to be, like Steve said, Galatians 6:9. So if you can open your Bibles. And let's pray. Father, as we come to your word, we just want to hear your voice. And Lord, that you would speak just directly to our hearts, all that we need to understand from you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we've been, last time we were here, it was in summer of 2016. And I guess a lot has happened in America since that time. That's what we hear anyways. So as we're, you know, even during that time on social media, and I'm not a big fan of social media, but I'll check it every now and then, I just noticed like Christians becoming just angry with each other at that time. And then this past 5 years, just everybody's so angry. Everybody's just upset and just frustrated with how things are in the world. In Portugal, America, just everywhere, just there's a lot of anger in the world. And one of the surprising things for me, I guess, is how many Christians have kind of followed that path. And there's just a lot of anger and then a lot of fear as well, coming from our brothers and sisters. And just, and on social media, posting a lot of things that I'm just kind of surprised that they would post. And so I was just like, what is going on in the world today? What is happening that is making people so angry to the point where their sole focus is not on the Lord, but on these other issues? And so, I just wonder, like, is that the best witness to the world at this time? As believers, are we representing the Lord by having all this anger and this wanting to battle about this issue and that issue? Not that those issues are necessarily not worth fighting for, but in doing so, are we just like causing division and people to be like, I don't want to be a Christian because this person acts this way or that person acts that way? And in Matthew 5:13-16, Jesus tells us that we need to be the salt and the light, preserving and bringing, you know, shining forth in this world. And I don't know if we as a group of or believers are doing that as we should. And I can understand that it's a tiring time. We're just, I get the sense that everybody's just tired in their spirit. And I know before we came, we were just tired. Our spirits were tired. This whole COVID stuff, you know, we've been like, you guys have had to deal with it. We've really had to deal with it. And like draconian measures, like we're like locked down for months at a time. Where you can go out to take a little walk, as long as you're within, like in your same neighborhood, you have to stay in your own neighborhood, and you can go to the grocery store. And that's about it. That's the only thing we're allowed to do for months at a time. And it happened twice. And now, even now, it's like they're starting to go back to some of these things in Portugal again. And it just gets tiring. And trying, like we're a new church and trying to figure out how to do church in this time, for us, was really hard because we're not tech savvy at all. Like, we had to do live. If you guys saw some of the behind-the-scenes pictures of us doing live stream, it was so funny. So funny. The first few services, it was Victoria just holding an iPhone, her iPhone, and just videoing us. And it was live. She had, like, stand there sometimes just holding it why we're going live to do our Sunday service, because we couldn't meet. Then we could meet for a little while, but not everybody. Then for the last, most of 2021, we weren't able to meet. And so we're having to learn just all these different things. And then we had like sound issues all the time where they could see us, but they couldn't hear us. And then we started recording. It was just stuff that we're so uncomfortable with. And it's just, I was like, why do we have to do this? Why can't we just meet together in person? But we just couldn't. That's just the way things were. And so there was a fatigue from that for us. And so when we came in June to my parents' house in Washington State. We were just tired, just really, really tired spiritually, just about everything. And so we've been getting refreshed. Steve and Brandy have been spoiling us this past couple of days, and it's just been nice. We haven't really thought about the ministry there right now, and it's just been nice to get refreshed. But the question is, what are we to do as Christians during this time? How are we to navigate these days as believers when the world is angry, when maybe we ourselves are angry, or probably more to the case, we're tired, just tired of all the nonsense. some of the things that people have been telling me, it's just, I'm like, wow, this is really, really gone crazy in America, just some of the things that are out there. And there's just, I think, a tiredness amongst us all, a weariness. So Galatians 6:9 is our verse this morning, and I'll read it. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. This verse for me and why I chose it, because I met Steve 5 years ago, and on every time he sends an email or we get an email from the church, there's this verse at the bottom of it. And I come from a family of very dramatic people. Like, the women in my family are very, very dramatic. And despite what my daughters will tell you, I'm not that dramatic, normally. I'm pretty level, even keeled. I just, you know, I don't go up high and low. I just pretty even. I can be dramatic in some ways, but generally I'm not dramatic, I would say. Don't listen to them. But with the Lord, I'm very dramatic. I'm like, I've quit the ministry probably about 200 times. Every time something goes wrong, I'm like, I quit. I can't do it anymore. Find somebody else. This is impossible. And the Lord's like, no, calm down. And a lot of times he sends me this verse, Galatians 6:9. Don't grow weary. Don't lose heart. In due season, you will reap if you don't lose heart. I'm like, okay, all right, I know. Okay, I'm not going to grow weary. I'm not going to lose heart. Keep going. Then 2 days later, I quit. I can't take it anymore. It's too much. And then this verse kept on popping up over the last 5 years. For me personally, just like, don't grow weary and doing good. Keep going. And that's kind of the idea. And so, and then I knew when we were planning the trip to come out here and me speaking here this morning, I knew this would be, and it's the verse that Steve, you know, I didn't know it was his personal verse, but I knew this verse would be perfect for this time that we're living in. That as believers, it's so easy just to get tired of just everything that's happening and wondering where the Lord is during this time. But it's a simple verse to understand. Don't grow tired. Don't get fatigued. Don't be weary in doing good. Paul's including himself in this. He's writing to the Galatians that it's an interesting letter in that. There's a lot of drama there. But it was an encouragement to, hey, guys, let's keep on doing good. And then at the right time, you will reap the good that you have planted or the good that you're doing if you don't lose heart. And this idea, if you don't give up, if you keep going, if you don't throw in the towel too soon, if we just keep fighting the good fight. It's just the idea. It's like, if you keep going, God says that good will come from your ministry or good will come from your actions if you just keep going and don't give up. Now, like me, some of you may have wanted to give up and just said, you know what, I just want to fight. I want to fight these people that are wanting to make our country bad. I want to fight this issue or that issue. I just want to fight. And just, I'm tired of being good. So this is confession time as well. In Portugal, we have really bad drivers. Like, they tailgate you or get right behind you. Like, and I think it's cultural. At the beginning, we're like, okay, these guys want to fight us because they're so close to us. So I'm like, all right, come on, let's go, you know. And it's not really good as a missionary to do that. But we just learned over time, it's just part of their culture. I don't know what they expect. Like, they have five cars ahead of you, but the guy behind you is like that close. And you're like, what's going to happen if I have to put on my brakes? And you see it all the time, like six cars just like this together, just driving down the road. So it's so easy just to want to get angry about this and do something about it. So it got to the point where I said, I can't, if I'm going to teach or do any type of spiritual ministry, I'm not going to drive. I just can't do it because I'll get in the flesh and it's just going to, not good. So my wife will drive at that point. And she's like the sweetest person ever. But Portugal broke her. The driving broke her. I wish I had some video. Hey, come on. What are you doing? Get in. All this hand gesture. She's got the hand gestures down now. And it broke her. So now if she's doing any type of ministry, she can't drive. So we just decided if we're going to be driving, we can't do it. And it's just, you know, because there's just this whole spiritual element of it, of course, but it makes us not sometimes. I could tell you stories about double part, it's just unbelievable. You don't want to do good, you know. You're like, I don't want to love these people right now because the way they act, because they're very friendly, surfacely, but they're very selfish and self-centered. So sometimes we don't even like them, and it's like, that's not the right attitude to have if you're a missionary and you're supposed to love them. So God is working on us and all this stuff as we're doing ministry, but it's so easy just to lose heart and want to give up and not want to keep pouring into them and keep showing them the love of God, because we're called to do that, and there's not many people called to love the Portuguese people because they're not the easiest people to love. And God has asked our family to be part of that, to show his love to them. But sometimes we just want to give up and say, you know what? And when we got here, the first few weeks, we're like, oh my gosh, how much easier it is to live in America. Like, everything is so much easier. The driving is so much more peaceful. Just life is easier than living there. And we're just like, man, it's so much different. It's so amazing, the difference. But God is, you know, and God spoke to my heart about this. He's like, you know, you're going to have a great time on this trip. And you're going to be blessed, you and your family. You're going to be refreshed. Everything's going to be great. But I'm still going to ask you to go love a people that no one else loves. I'm still going to ask you to show my love to them, because there's not many of you that are doing that. And so that's kind of, okay, Lord, I don't want to lose heart. I don't want to give up, because I know fruit will come from it. But it's a struggle. It's not easy. I think all of us, maybe in the last, especially since COVID, have wanted to just lose heart and wanted to not do good. And based on the social media conversations out there, I think it's happened that a lot of people have lost heart and given up on trying to do good. So the main heart of this message this morning, it's just an encouragement for all of us to, in a general sense, be the salt and light of this world. Because if we don't do it, who else will? Who else is going to show the love of God to this world? Who else is going to represent him if we say, you know what, I'm tired of doing it. I don't want to do it anymore. And I think it's a challenge for all of us. I don't know how it is here in Midland. I talked to Steve a little bit. But it just seems believers in general, they're wanting to give up or wanting to focus on other things. And I think it's the perfect time for us to share the love of God with people. But how can we do that if we ourselves are weary and fatigued? How can we do that if we don't want to? If we don't want to show love, if we don't want to do good anymore? I think it's a challenge for us to say, you know what? No matter what's going to happen in life, I'm going to not stop doing good. I'm not going to stop sharing the heart of Jesus with people that I disagree with, I don't like, or have bad intentions for our country or for me even personally. I think it's so important, more than maybe one of the most important times in history, for the church to stand up and say, we still love, and we still want to show God's love to people that are rejecting him or doing everything that is anti-God. So I think it's a great challenge for us in this day and age to never stop doing good, to not grow weary in doing so, because at the right time, God promises that there will be fruit from it. There will be good from it, and we'll see it to a certain extent. We'll reap it. So that's a general encouragement for us this morning. And then there's a personal one, I think. Sometimes in life, and just regardless of what's happening outside of our own sphere, we can get tired in marriage. We can get tired with our kids. We can get tired dealing with family members. We can grow weary and wanting to do good, wanting to be a good husband, wanting to be a good wife, wanting to be a good father or mother, wanting to be a good family member. There's so much pushback sometimes from that. We can grow weary in that. We can grow weary in being honest with our finances when you see other people just getting away with all kinds of stuff and reaping the benefits of it. We can grow weary of just dealing with people at work and being a good employee when you see maybe other people kind of cheating the system. We can grow weary in always doing the right thing. We can even grow weary in praying, thinking, you know what, I prayed for this issue for 7 days. I haven't got my answer, so forget it. But we can grow weary if we're praying for the same thing for months and months and months, even years. You know, every time I grow weary in praying for the same thing, I'm always remembered of the story of a wife that for 19 years she prayed for her alcoholic abusive husband to get saved. 19 years of day in and day out praying for his salvation. And it finally happened. And because she didn't grow weary, she didn't give up. And so sometimes our own personal lives, we grow weary of doing the right thing, thinking, what good will it do? What benefit will there be if I do the right thing over and over again? I see other people getting blessed by doing the wrong thing, it seems like. Why do I need to do the right thing? So for personal encouragement, if you feel like you're just tired of fighting the good fight in whatever area of life, I think the Lord wants to encourage you this morning as well to not grow weary in doing good. In due season, you'll reap if you do not lose heart. But what is the ultimate way that we can do this? What is the power that we have to be able to do this? Because you can say, you know what, I want to do the right thing, but I just feel like I can't. Well, in Galatians as well, we have the answer in chapter 5, verse 16. It says, I say then, walk in the Spirit. That's all ultimately the key for our Christian life, is to walk in the Spirit, to deny our flesh. Walking in the Spirit, like I said, it's the ideal, but it's not always possible. Sometimes we'll fail in this way. But it's like our heart should be, you know, I want to walk in the Spirit. And the thing about walking in the Spirit is every one of us that is a believer in Jesus Christ, we have that ability. We have that power to be able to do so because we have the Holy Spirit in us. So we have the Holy Spirit speaking to our lives and to our hearts, saying, this is how I want you to live, or this is how I want you to act in this situation. Now, it's up to us whether we want to listen to that or not, but we have that ability. We have that potential to always walk in the Spirit, to always be a good example, to always show the love of Jesus, to do good. We have that in us. Now, there's always obstacles to that, you know, our own flesh, the world, the enemy. But in us, we have the Holy Spirit. So there's no reason why we shouldn't be able to walk in the Spirit day by day. Now, of course, that's not going to be possible. We're going to fail, and we're going to be, you know, driving. We're driving to Abilene later this afternoon, and we may not walk in the Spirit on the road for whatever reason. Or, you know, as our daughters are in the back seat, and one's on their side or the other, and like, hey, you're on my side. They may not walk in the Spirit. It's very easy to go from one to the other. But I think it's something that we should strive for, and we should want to achieve, to want to walk in the Spirit in order to represent our Lord. He's done so much for us. He's blessed us so much. And he's inviting us into this thing where we can represent him to the world that doesn't know him yet. And it's a wonderful call. It's a wonderful invitation that we have, that we get to represent our Lord Jesus in this world, in Midland or wherever you may live. We have that opportunity. He's inviting us this morning, saying, will you show my love to this world? Will you do good on my behalf? And that's such a beautiful thing that we're invited into. So I want to challenge all of us this morning to accept that invitation that Jesus is offering us this morning, to do good and not grow weary in doing so, and not to lose heart. Because in the right time, at the right way, in the right place, God will let there be fruit from it. And I just want to leave you with just this famous verse also in Galatians, verse 22. It's the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If we allow the fruit of the Spirit to show from our lives, we will not grow weary in doing good, and we won't lose heart. So my challenge for us this morning is to walk in the Spirit, which will enable us to not grow weary and to not lose heart, knowing that there is a blessing that will be attached to it. So let's pray. Father, just want to thank you for your word, and just, Lord, just a simple encouragement this morning, that it is difficult sometimes in life to just do good, to continuing to do good. And Lord, it's just fatiguing. It's tiring. It's wearisome. But Lord, I do pray that you would empower us by your Spirit and encourage us and show us how we can continually walk in the Spirit so that we may be able to be your representatives in this world. This world needs witnesses to show your love. They're needed in Midland. They're needed in Texas. They're needed in America. They're needed in Portugal. They're needed in this world. The church needs to rise up and show love more than anything else at this time. Yes, Lord, we need to fight certain fights, and we need to battle in certain battles. But let the one thing that we are able to show more than anything else is love. That when people see us or interact with us, they will know that we're coming from a place of love. Your love shining through us. And so, Lord, let that be for each of us this morning. That your love would come out of our lives in our day-to-day interactions with people, with family members, with spouses, with children, with whoever. And Lord, encourage our spirits this morning. Energize our spirits, Lord. Give us just what we need to continue to do good on your behalf. Thank you for inviting us to be a part of your work, to represent you, to show good. And I just pray that you'd help us, Lord, more than ever, to fulfill the call that you have in our lives, which in the general sense is to be salt and light in this world. In Jesus' name, amen.